Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Rugby.
We're delighted to be joined by Brendan Fanning from the Sunday Independent and Grand Slam winning scrum half Tomás O'Leary. Brendan, I'll come to you first. Brilliant news, Bundiaki signing a 3-year deal with Connacht and the RFU.
Yeah, funny, I got a phone call from a colleague of mine during the week asking me, did I know anything about Bundiaki going to France? And I said no, and he said, oh, that's all to go. They're throwing telephone numbers at him, he'll hardly stay in Connacht. So, huge news for Connacht to keep him there. He's massively important. His form has been really good. He's been their best buy-in at any point. So, that's a terrific start to their weekend.
Tomás, you've travelled. You could see why he would be of interest to French clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the calibre of player he is. And he's illustrated that throughout his time in Connacht and obviously with the Irish team. And I think it's important for Connacht to hold on to these players. You've seen Marmion signing on. Now, obviously, Bundiaki, you know, it's great for the local area and to keep numbers coming into the ground, and obviously with their big plans to build a stadium there as well. So it's great for Connacht Rugby, and you know, encourages the youth of Connacht that, you know, you can stay there and you can become an international player.
Brendan, out of all the provinces, Connacht are leading the way with getting the work done, signing up players at the moment, aren't they?
They are. I would echo Tomás's comments about the stadium, though, and we were in Leinster there during the week, some of the Sunday hacks, for an interview with Robbie Henshaw. And the moment you walk into Leinster, you just cannot but be impressed by the quality of the headquarters that they're in. Like, it's a fabulous building. They have everything, top of the range gym, loads of pitches, all the support systems. And every time you get down to Connacht, you think, when are they going to get it? Now, they have the plan clearly is signed off on. I don't know what the chronology is on the time scale and how soon they're going to start turning a sod, but it really can't happen fast enough because they need to match off the field what they're doing on the field.
We might turn to the Pro 14 tonight, and Tomás, Ulster at Ravenhill against the Scarlets. They've won 6 of their last 8. They haven't lost in Ravenhill in 14 months, and they've been named yet another strong side. How do you see it going?
Yeah, look, I've been impressed with what Ulster are building, to be fair. I suppose we have spoken about them, you know, in regards to the European competition, and I probably dismissed them as contenders. And look, to be fair to them, they've probably proven that, you know, they're a bit ahead of the road than maybe what I thought anyway. And look, at home in this league, like you said, they still have a strong team, made a few changes, but I suppose the core of the team with Cooney there, Herring in a 2. And in the back row, you know, you could see there. So I think they have a strong team and it should have too much for Scarlets away from home. I'd be pretty confident that Ulster should get the home win this week.
Yeah, and Bill Johnson starting at 10. Brendan, would you echo what Tomás is saying there? They look strong at home.
Yeah, I'd say they're unbackable tonight, lads. Not least because 9 Scarlets are involved in this Wales game against the Barbarians, which is just a complete money spinner. It's nothing other than that.
It's Rory Best, 50th goodbye.
The long good, I don't know how much he's getting for the long goodbye, but yeah, certainly the Welsh Rugby Union are pocketing more money. It's been a good week for Wales between the CVC money coming from the Pro 14 and the money coming from I don't know if it's going to be a full house or not. But the impact on the Scarlets is massive. They have 7 lads starting for Wales and 2 on the bench. So Ulster will hack up tonight, and yeah, it will be interesting to see Bill Johnson at 10 because across the provinces, not least in Munster, where we've discussed the fitness issues around 10. Johnson, of course, is a former son of Munster, so if he was to go to Ulster and make a name for himself, I think it would be really good for business.
Yeah, I think everyone would echo that. It's good to see players like that playing within the country and getting game time. So you both predict an Ulster win on that one. We'll move on to the other game of the night. Munster taking on Edinburgh in Irish Independent Park. And there's a bit to this. There's a bit of a rivalry now, Tomás, with Edinburgh, you know, from playing each other in Europe. This should be an exciting game.
Yeah, it should be. And I suppose Edinburgh have come pretty loaded. A lot of experience coming over. And I suppose it's the opposite of Munster, where conversely, you know, they've changed almost their whole squad from last weekend. So look, it's a fantastic opportunity for the younger and the peripheral Munster players to stake their claim for Champions Cup spot. I suppose Dan Goggin, particularly in midfield, I think he's been unfortunate not to get more games. Obviously, you know, the form of Scannell has been good. Interesting to see Daly at full back. I think he's a fine player, and I suppose the likes of Nash are coming back in back three as well. In the pack there, I've been very impressed with Witcherly in the second row, even coming on, making an impact in the Champions Cup. And of course, it's a big day for Stephen Archer getting his 200 caps. So look, it's a big challenge for Munster. Look, the likes of Van der Voelt and Poyraz at nine will be good controlling games, and they've the likes of Ben Toulis in the pack. So, but look, home advantage hopefully, and a bit of momentum with Munster. I think this young team might be able to nick a win.
Donnacha, Tomás mentioned Stephen Archer making his 200 club appearance in the Pro 14. Just the 11th Munster man to reach that mark. It's not easy to get there, is it?
No, it's not. And especially in that position, I think he's been an incredible player that's been a little bit unlucky. Maybe picked up an injury at a critical time of his career when he was just breaking into the Irish kind of scene, and kind of kept him out for a little bit of time. But this guy has a work rate like no one really appreciates. He's strong at set piece, of course, like you'd have to be to pick up 200 caps for Munster. But I was always impressed with him. And Brendan, you might explain it a little bit more. But his work rate around the pitch, he's a good man to carry a ball, always makes gain line. And his point of difference for me is his tackle rate and his work rate at breakdown. He gets through a mountain of work, and it's great to see him at home tonight with his family there to run out for his 200 cap.
Donnacha, his point of difference is that he's from Cork, first and foremost, for yourself and Tomás.
Yeah, he's a Christian's boy too.
I couldn't even get to what school he went to.
Yeah, no, the right one.
I would have enormous respect for anybody who can play, who can get over the 200 mark. Now, he's a couple of caps for Ireland as well, so he's played at least, this will be tonight, 202 first-class games. To survive over 200 games as a tight head prop in a collision sport like rugby is absolutely a savage achievement. He's not even 32 yet. I think he'll be 32 early in the new year. So God knows where he'll stop. But yeah, fair dues to him. Absolutely. It's a terrific achievement. And they will need him tonight, because I was chatting to a Scottish colleague of mine earlier on today, and he looked at the lineups and he said Richard Cockrell would be saying to the Edinburgh lads, if you can't beat this Munster lineup, don't come in for work on Monday morning.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like Richard Cockrell going against Graham Rowntree, and normally we expect a really experienced Munster pack. It's not tonight. If you looked over, you'd nearly say that Edinburgh pack, I would think it's better than the Scottish pack of forwards. You know, just you look at everyone that's coming in there, you know, Stuart McNally, Hamish Watson, and then Mata at eight. I think he was the player of the Pro 14 last year. Outstanding player. Brendan, do you think, Graham Rowntree will be able to get that young pack up and going?
Oh, no doubt. And it's not that young a pack. Like, they're fairly grizzled. McAnally has a bit of personal business as well, given that he was gazumped by Fraser Brown in the World Cup in the Scotland team. So he really needs to get good form and produce it very quickly. Magnus Bradbury is probably one of the best carriers in the competition. Himself, Hamish Watson and Bill Mata in the back row is a serious combination. So yeah, look, that is a huge, huge challenge for Munster. And if they can get away with a win, they would be happy with a draw. Obviously, I would have thought to get away with a win against a team of that quality, given Munster's lack of experience, I think would be a fantastic result for them.
Yeah, and of course, always the key men to push him around the pitch tonight, Nick McCarthy and Ben Healy. Tomás, young Ben Healy, everyone's been excited for him now for a while around the Munster scene since, you know, Glenn Stoll winning a Senior Cup, him winning the Grand Slam with the Irish under-20s. You know, how do you think he'll go tonight?
Yeah, hugely excited to see him play a professional game. I actually saw him in the Schools Cup final that day. And what struck me about his performance was he just had a lot of time on the ball. Obviously physically imposing for a schoolboy at the time as well. I don't know what height he is, must be 6'2" or 6'3" anyway. So he'd almost remind you of Larkin's kind of playing style, kind of languid, relaxed, very skillful player. So look, he has all the, I suppose, attributes to physically step up this level, and from what I've seen thus far, he has the skills in abundance too. So look, it's fantastic to see a young, exciting guy like him get an opportunity. And like you said, it's an interesting selection with McCarthy at nine. Look, I've seen little of him really since he's come down from Leinster. And I suppose coming down is from third choice from Leinster, he's a lot to prove to see whether he can be a genuine contender for the nine jersey in Munster.
So how do you see it going tonight?
Well, I think Munster have like playing at home, you'd expect Munster to be under pressure. But given the team they've named, the young team, I think they've a free shot at a victory. And I think just with the momentum they have, I think Munster might nick a win against this Edinburgh side.
Brendan, would you see it going that way?
No, I'll go with Edinburgh for this, Donica. And I'd echo Tomás's comments about Ben Healy. He's a really, really good footballer. It's worth going in to watch just the way he moves a team around the park. And the Nick McCarthy situation is very interesting. There was a bit of a let's keep Albie Mathewson in Munster campaign developing there for a couple of weeks, and what a great bloke he was. So Nick McCarthy obviously is the man who's causing the situation where Albie is no longer wanted because he's effectively bed blocking. So Nick McCarthy, who didn't make it in Leinster, really needs to make it in Munster.
And there's young Craig Casey behind him as well. Yeah, I'd agree. It's good to see players in there to bring guys on, but we don't want the pathway stopped for maybe two local guys that could come in there and have opportunities. Okay, moving on to the Connacht versus the Southern Kings game on Saturday at 5:15. Brendan, how do you see this going? The news of Bundiaki signing, could this have a bit of a lift?
Oh, no doubt it would have a lift, but what will have an even bigger lift is the fact that the Connacht front five is back in harness again. Mm-hmm. They were using chewing gum and string to keep them together there for a couple of weeks, but all five first choices are now on the field. Aki back on the field with the deal signed. Adi Alokan back on the wing and playing very well. Caelan Blade playing very, very well. Kings well out of their comfort zone. Bonus point home win for Connacht.
I'm kind of particularly interested in seeing Conor Fitzgerald's continued development. He was very impressive away from home last week, and you can see it's not critical if you get rejected by a province, obviously let go by Munster last year, and he's proven that he has all the skills and attributes to make it a professional rugby.
And Brendan, then probably the game of the weekend in the Pro 14, Leinster away to Glasgow. This is a healthy rivalry. This is probably the game to watch, isn't it?
It is, and if you look at the Leinster selection, Donica, it's pretty light, but a handful of fellas in there. If you'd be keen to see how Ben Healy goes for Munster tonight at 10, then how Hugo Keenan goes at fullback for Leinster will be every bit as interesting. He really is a very, very good footballer, as is Jimmy O'Brien at 13 and Conor O'Brien at 12. They're different types of players. This is this new young breed coming through Leinster at the moment. Absolutely loads of gas, loads of talent. But they'll be up against it in Glasgow. It's not by any means the strongest selection that Glasgow could have put together, but nevertheless, it's a pretty decent unit. So yeah, that should be well worth watching.
Tomás, Glasgow have been disappointing though this season. We normally see them setting a blaze, sitting in fourth in their conference. Yeah. They'll need this win.
Yeah, they definitely need this win. You know, they've taken a dip over the last kind of year or so. They showed signs, particularly against Exeter in the first half of the game last week. Took it to Exeter away from home and produced some scintillating rugby. But yeah, it looks like they could be back on the upward curve, and a home game against a weakened Leinster side. We all know there's not many weakened Leinster sides anymore, but they'd expect to get a victory and maybe get their campaign back on track.
Okay, lads, I took it for granted as if Connacht would come out on top against Southern Kings, but how do you see this one going, Brendan? Who call it?
I think Leinster might get away with it. The absence of George Horn and Adam Hastings at half-back for Glasgow may well be significant, and Leinster are pretty well sorted in that area with Ross Byrne playing well enough. And you feel a little bit for Ross when you think away the way his career was tipping along very nicely and then suddenly plateaued when it became obvious that he wasn't within an ass's roar of going to the World Cup. But he does a very good job for Leinster, and they'd be looking to himself in Gibson Park tomorrow. So yeah, I think Leinster might just get out of there with a win.
Tomás?
Yeah, I think I'll agree. Look, Leinster have become a machine. Winning is a habit, and I think they'll continue that.
Yeah, and lads, three clubmen, the Energy AIL, what's your pick of the weekend? Which game are you looking to head to?
Probably look at UCC, UCD down to Mardyke, and I suppose an ex-Munster player at scrum half, John Poland, is going well with them, so probably my pick of the weekend.
Yeah, for me, I'm heading down to Corcon, Ballinahinch, mainly just to get out of the house, and it's only around the corner. What about you, Brendan?
I'll go down to Castle Avenue tonight. Tarford playing Lansdowne, and it's interesting, Tarford in 6th and Lansdowne are in 10th, and no bookie would have given you odds before the Energy League started on the two of them being in those positions. So it's a massive game. Whoever loses this tonight, it's a long, long way back.
It's amazing. You know, you're right, Brendan. At the start, you would have probably said that could be a final.
Yeah, you could. And funny, I was chatting to a fellow in another club, one of the Limerick clubs last weekend at the Munster game, and he was saying, we're more concerned about the games that Tarf and Lansdowne win after Christmas. But I feel that if whoever loses this evening, too much damage may well have been done.
Yeah, and Brendan, just before we go, can I ask you about the news on Conor O'Shea, your take on it? A good move?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a stack of experience across a range of areas, and he's a very employable fella. So, I'd say he had his pick of jobs. It wasn't as like he was going to be running around with cap in hand.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks very much for joining us. Let's look forward to a great weekend of rugby. We'll chat to you next week.
Game on. Check out the podcast on the RTE Radio Player app.